live righteously. Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. This is episode 73. Tune in for the second and third block when we visit with that hilarious comedian, Stephen Jones. You might recognize him from Look at Your Books, Now Back at Me, Now Back at Your Books. He's the guy who did the parody BYU commercial, and he's a stand-up comedian of hilarious proportions. We sit down with him in the second and third block, so stick around for that. But right now, I got an email that someone sent by going to theculturalhall.com, one of just many ways that people can get in touch with us. And by us, I mean several people, but specifically right now, Lindsay, hi.
Hi, how are you?
So great. You can get to us by emailing richie@theculturalhall.com. That's one way. By going to theculturalhall.com and doing the contact us button, that's another way. You can direct message or just mention us in a tweet at the Cultural Hall. You can go to our Facebook page and you can leave a post there on the wall.
Or direct send us message a message. Us, yes.
And we'll get it that way. Or you can always leave us a reference. What's the word I'm looking for?
Referral.
A referral, a comment on iTunes, on the podcast. We love those. A comment that says, you guys are great. And it gives us a star rating and it makes us easier.
Mm-hmm.
To be found, easier to be found would be the word, I think.
Do we take snail mail? Do we slap letters?
I take a snail mail.
Okay.
Just
in case anyone's not in the digital world,
yeah,
you send a letter.
If you're not in the digital world, you can't hear this, though.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So there's that.
Touche.
Just go to theculturalhall.com or any of those. We'd love to have you. Oh, we're on Pinterest, too. Carly has made a New Year's resolution to keep up the Pinterest page like when she first got in charge of it. So this year, expecting great things.
Good for her.
From our Pinterest page. Yeah. Here we go. Richie says this email, and everyone else in the Cultural Hall says this email. Wow. But I think she said Richie because of this. Wow, calling nursery kids dumber. If you might remember in last week's episode, I talked about the little kids are dumb.
Oh, because we were talking about my new calling.
Right.
In Leafs, or yeah, my new calling being the nursery chorister.
Yeah. And I think I said something jokingly, of course, about kids being dumber. Says, my three-year-old knows several songs word for word and sings them often. Not just at church. Anyway, so she goes on. I just found your podcast and I'm trying to catch up so I can be a full convert. Luckily, I have strong enough faith to not be offended and leave.
Oh, ouch. Are we offensive?
No. I think she's just being sarcastic. Okay. I hope she's just being sarcastic. If not, it's been nice knowing you and having you here in the Cultural Hall, because if that offended you, you'll find many other reasons to be offended. But she goes on to say, I thought about being about women being ward clerk. We talked about this with women wearing pants to church and that whole thing. She says it could be a priesthood thing. My dad has had to sit in on bishop interviews as a, quote, potted plant, where he doesn't say anything, he's just there for support. She says, some women I know would not be able to keep their information private. Maybe that's why.
Mm.
Just a thought. As far as Sunday school, I've never realized that women are not presidents of Sunday schools.
Oh,
and
the president.
And I was raised in the church. So it's just something that she never thought of. Anyway, she says, I'm enjoying the podcast. I specifically loved the episode with Gina Barberi. So far, that is my favorite. Thanks for all your work. Allison. So, yeah.
We don't think your three-year-old is dumb.
I might.
No.
I kind of think young kids are dumb.
No, trust me. Those kids know the words to those songs because they're like between 18 months and 4 years old, and they're singing the words. I know they're not dumb. I'm just saying that they're younger, therefore not as...
Yeah, they don't know as much as me. They're dumb.
Oh, my gosh. Richie@theculturalhall.com.
Is that offensive?
Well, I don't know.
If the absurd shoe fits. No, I don't think that they're dumb. I think kids will say the darndest things.
Yes. He's rolling his eyes for everyone that can't see him.
No, they're, you know.
They're not dumb. They're just not grown up yet.
Yeah, they're just not grown up yet.
Exactly.
So what is it? What are they then?
They're not as old. They don't understand.
Right.
That doesn't make them dumb.
What's a word for that? I want to label these kids.
They're just younger.
Okay, younger. Equals dumb.
No, that doesn't equal dumb. They're just younger. This is an absurd argument.
It is an absurd argument, just for the sake of absurd arguments. But I really, this is actually something that I struggle with. Kids under the age of about three, I don't really like that
really?
Much.
Really? Oh, I love them.
No, I have a hard time. Like, until they start being interesting, I just am like, oh, you're a poop factory.
They smile and laugh right. and
yep. Doesn't
they
do
clap
it for
along
me.
Things. You're a terrible human being.
I am. But I've got a niece who's right in that, like, 3 years old, and, like, everything, she's just like, hi, I love you, Uncle Brother. And it's just, like, the sweetest thing in the world. But, like, when she was two, not interested.
What?
I wasn't interested. I wanted to be interested. I should be that uncle.
You should be.
But I'm not.
Well, what do you think that is?
And, like, when they're, and then when they're super young, I'm afraid I'm going to break them. Yeah. Like, I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, okay. This is a baby.
You
this
realize
baby.
It's because they're closer to God that they don't understand those things. They're still.
So they're not dumb. They're actually heavenly.
Yeah, they're heavenly
way better
beings.
Than I am.
Yeah, they're
okay,
way better.
That I'll take.
All right. I just won the argument.
Hey, it's not about being right.
Oh, dang it.
It's never about being right. It's about the relationship.
Oh, has this fostered our relationship?
Yeah, this has now fostered our relationship. I just feel bad. I have a lot of dad guilt on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know how parents should look at their kids and just be like, man, that's awesome. I've had that experience with my kid, but I don't feel like I have it enough.
Right. Well, you got a lot of things going on.
Right.
With your kid.
Right. What does that mean?
I just mean that there are outside circumstances that are
affecting. Well, he's a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, so friends, obviously, I'm not cool because he has friends that he wants to hang out with. But
sure.
It's like, yeah, and I haven't been there since he was born.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah, so that all adds to it.
But should I still not be able to be looking at him and be like, oh.
You're saying you don't look at him like
no,
that?
No, I do sometimes.
Well, I think your situation is just different than a typical father-son relationship.
So no guilt?
No, maybe you
so
don't.
Like, I'll be really good when he's older. Like when he's in a relationship and he'll be like, she drives me crazy talking about his wife. And I'll be like, let's talk about this.
Yeah. And he'll get it eventually. He's still a teenager. He thinks the world revolves around him right now.
Right.
But maybe you're not supposed to be his quote-unquote father. Maybe you're just supposed
just
to be...
Pal?
Yeah,
just
maybe you're just...
Rich is your buddy, Rich is your friend.
Well, you can be a father-type figure to him and not necessarily, you know, like, he's just having a hard time grasping that that's your role. Does
okay.
that make sense?
But if he could just look at me and say, I love you, Uncle Brother, like my niece does, done.
So cute.
Heart melted.
I know you said before that if he just called you dad, it'd be
right?
over.
He gave me a hug for Father's Day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so great.
That was last year.
Yeah.
But I still hang on to it.
Yeah.
It was a hug with arms.
Well, maybe you should stop expecting him to do it and just let him come
he
to it.
He wouldn't do it if I didn't expect it. He
but
wouldn't
then
have done
once
it
he
if
does
I
do it, it'll be that much better. And every little thing that he does do will make you ooh and awe over him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
This is not at all what the rest of this podcast is about today. We're
you
visiting
went there.
With. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I mean, if you're thinking, oh man, I don't know if I can take much more of this, don't worry. None of the rest of this is like this. We
over.
Visit with Stephen Jones in the second and third block of the Cultural Hall.
Are you looking for meaningful Christmas gifts for your friends and family? LDSBookstore.com is your one-stop shop for everything LDS. We carry quality products for all ages, including beautiful framed art, inspiring books, fun accessories, inviting home decor, and more. Give a gift this year that is truly one of a kind with our affordable customization options like ring engraving, scripture embossing, and even custom temple art. We make shopping online simple, hassle-free, and easy on your wallet. Your order will be handled with care, and you'll love our friendly customer service. Do all your Christmas shopping this year at LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO to get free shipping. That's LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO for free shipping.
Yes.
It's the second block of the Cultural Hall here, and joining us inside Terra Mia Restaurante is Stephen Jones. Stephen
Hallelujah.
Jones. Yeah.
Didn't even make any sense. It's the Cultural Hall, so I thought I should get spiritual.
No, you can.
Not spiritual, but spiritual.
Spiritual?
We can call it the Genesis Cultural Hall if you need to. Do you want to call it
I've
that?
I've never been to one of those. People ask me all the time, but
if
anyway.
Ever been, so Brittany obviously doesn't know what it is. The LDS Church has a...
I'm sitting here going,
she's
I want to
like,
belong.
What?
I want to belong.
That's funny.
I do.
The LDS Church has a group called the Genesis Group, which it meets once a month up in Salt Lake. And I think there's one down here too. Maybe not.
I don't know.
But it's a group for anyone to go to, but it's specifically designed for... And correct me, obviously, if I'm wrong. For black people that want the transition into... Mormon Church.
It's group therapy. No, I'm just joking.
Like,
I don't know. I've never been. And I've heard about it. It's not that I wouldn't, but I mean, I don't, you know.
But people just assume that you have because.
No, listen, I could tell you story after story in the LDS church, just the different things that people say. But well, I'm not mad about it. It's just funny.
Hopefully we'll get into it a little bit. Steven, if you don't know who he is, if you saw this commercial, this was, or not commercial, this video, I guess it's a commercial, right? For the,
it's
for
a
the
commercial,
library.
You can call that, yeah.
A while back, it's the law library, I want to say, down at BYU, right?
It's the, or just the library.
Just the library
so the,
in general.
Yeah, Harold B. Lee Library.
It's the spoof of the Old Spice commercial. It's the, you know, look at your grades, now back at me, now back at your grades, now back at me. And he's walking through and, you know, they just, they take that Old Spice. Someone just dropped a cup here in the restaurant.
And it was me. It was me. Got it. We're good. Got ice. Got the ice. Got to put some more ice in.
So that's Steven. Also, if you've seen the Shiz Mormons Say,
yeah,
that's also him.
Okay, so I have to admit, like, I had not heard of you, and so I
don't worry about it.
I went on to the YouTube.
What is it? What is this site you say?
The YouTube? Uh-huh. Yeah, the YouTube.
I love it. I went to the
YouTube. Yes, exactly.
Never heard of that.
No,
never heard of it.
No.
Yeah, it's theyoutube.com.
And I put in your name, and what brought up. What it brought up for me was the like the boy band stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
I have
that's
a channel.
The first thing that it pulled was your boy band.
It just depends things. On I don't know. It just depends on what's I don't know how YouTube works. The SEO stuff. Hold up, he's looking it up right now.
Yeah,
what is it?
I want to see what
it
exactly.
Doesn't even
it
matter,
is.
People.
But you had the actor doing the blackface.
Oh, that was funny. Look, it had a twist. It didn't, you see what I'm saying? You assumed that right. That's what it was supposed to be.
Right.
But see, the whole joke was, you got to look at it. People don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a sketch comedy thing that we did, and that's why it's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be random. It's supposed to be...
Right.
Yeah. So the whole thing...
I laughed. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Oh. The whole idea behind the whole thing was... You know, because I come from the back in the 90s when they had boy bands and it was all huge, Boys to Men.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And how, like,
you Backstreet know, Boys?
Backstreet Boys. NSYNC was better.
What camp were you in? Were you an NSYNC guy?
NSYNC was better. I mean, you know, I love entertainment, so I'm not going to be one of those guys.
No, pick a favorite.
To,
don't.
NSYNC. Justin
okay.
Timberlake.
I am a. I'm
can
a,
dance better than.
I'm a product of New Kids on the Block.
No, like, you're not that old.
Yes, I most certainly am.
Really?
Oh, I had a New Kids on the Block sleeping bag and three of the dolls because I didn't care for two of the members of the band.
Okay,
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But you're an NSYNC guy.
Proceed.
NSYNC. And so anyway, it was just funny to me because the real more, like the boy bands were more like Boys to Men. It was just funny to me because they always would have, like, you know, the ugliest dudes you've ever seen, but then... They would just come out and just, the one dude would come out and they're just singing these songs. And then all of a sudden he's like, girl, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Like, and she just melts and stuff. You're like, what in the world is going on? Like, this ain't even.
Was there a song going on? There was a song going on.
But then the girls just love it and they do their thing, right? And so the whole, we made a couple of a series of different little sketches about it where, you know, a guy would be doing something. Like, what if you had your own personal boy band, right? And so, the guys, there would be a guy that would be doing something dumb. There's one, like, a kid pees the bed, and, like, all of a sudden, the boy band comes and saves the day. And then that last one just had a little twist at the end where we did a little thing with Justin Bieber. It was just, it was really random. It was supposed to be random. So, you got to watch it to understand what I'm talking about.
We'll have a link for it with this episode at theculturalhall.com, so go check that out. Now, speaking of the internet and speaking of just, you know, wanting to do more research about you before we have you here in the Cultural Hall.
Yeah.
If you look up Stephen E. Jones at BYU, do you know about this? Do you know who this guy is?
No, it's a guy who I obviously know just because I used to get emails at when I was going to BYU. So, but somebody would send me emails sometimes from this guy. Anyway, he's the – well, there's two. There's the guy who did the whole 9/11 conspiracy.
Yeah.
And there's also the dean of the art school, I don't know if it's performing art. I believe it's performing arts school.
Uh-huh. Yeah. At BYU was
at BYU. Yeah.
So the other Stephen Jones, the conspiracy theorist one, is the guy who claimed to have this whole report about how he could prove that we did 9/11 to ourselves. That we demolished the buildings.
Yeah,
and
that could be
excused.
A whole other conversation. We're like, well, see, the thing about conspiracies. We can just go down into that.
It's a Gettyette and Roberts all over again.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to go there. But no, that's just funny because complete opposite, really educated. I'm educated. Don't get me wrong. Okay? I got my education. Don't you worry about that.
From BYU.
From BYU.
From the BYU.
From the BYU. TheBYU.com. Very close related to you, TheYouTube.com. Anyway. But, yeah, I mean.
In what? What was
he's an older white guy, probably no hair. I don't have hair either, but
But you have hair.
I'm actually black and white, so I don't even want to. Anyway, my mom's 50-50? White.
50-50? Where's your mom from?
Vanilla swirl.
Where's your mom from?
My mom is from, she's from Florida. Mm-hmm. Well, no, she was born in South Carolina.
Okay.
Then she moved to Miami, and she lived there most of her life. And then she moved up to northern Florida, Tallahassee, Florida.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how often do people say, so are you mulatto? Or mulatto? No, which one's the cookie? Mulatto.
Only
no,
Latin Oreo. People and return missionaries who think they know Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody else really says that, but.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. But it's just funny because I joke because my mom is like, see, my parents actually, I come from a broken home.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, my parents got divorced when I was six. And, but my mom, I'm just like, I don't even understand. Like, they were married. It's just funny. My mom is like the whitest white lady. Like, she is so like, hi, you know?
Yeah.
My dad is just, he's from the South, and he's just, like, my dad is black. Like, my dad is dark. Like, even the color, like close your eyes. Like, that's how dark my dad is.
Like, lights out,
like,
only.
Lights out.
Only pupils and
smile so we can see you, yeah. Daddy. That's how black my dad is. Dark.
Parents divorced at six. Well, how was that? Do you remember much of it then before?
We're gonna make this a therapy session.
Yeah, if you want to, here, open up.
So you know,
open it up.
So it was hard at first, and you know, now my parents. It's funny because when you're six, you don't really know what's going on. Uh-huh. So when I think of my childhood, I don't know. Maybe this is maybe personal. We're getting personal.
Yeah, we're getting personal.
We get personal on the Culture Hall.
Bear our testimony right now. Yeah. I mean, I never really grew up in a home. With a mom and a dad. My mom, tell you, man, strong lady. She handled business, man. She handled business, working two jobs, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. A lot of who I am, I would say I contribute to my mom. You know, not to say anything about my dad. I mean, obviously, I'm grateful for my dad, but she held the fort down, man. And I think that you can see the difference in families. Where, like, for a guy especially, a foundation of a mom, I think, is very important, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, mom a member of the church?
Mom, both. See, it's
dad
funny
is
because,
too?
Dad is too. It's funny because I'm not trying to throw you out. A lot of people just assume I'm a convert because my dad's black. You know what I'm saying?
I really just was getting the background.
It's just funny because we talked about that at the beginning.
Yeah.
What a lot of people say. But both parents, they joined the church in 79.
So they met, married, and then joined the church?
Yeah, my sister was two.
Okay.
And so my sister was 2 years old. They joined the church. And I was...
Missionary tract? I mean, how were they introduced to it?
No, so my parents, they actually rented a house from a member of the church. And so anyway, I don't know how... that.
They had a bunch of Book of Mormon stored around the house. Yeah. I don't know how that got there.
Well, I think that eventually, I don't know, they knew about the church that way, but then the missionaries started teaching them. And a really cool story, my dad, the day that he decided to get baptized, he was actually, he had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the middle of it, so he was just taking a nap in the middle of the afternoon, like on a Saturday or something. And in his dream, he had a lady like come to him, and she was like wearing, it was a lady from the ward, and was like talking to him. And I don't know, I forgot all the details, but anyway, it made him more emotional, started crying. He wakes up, the same lady is knocking on the door.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
And it's like, and you know, and from there, you know, he was like, yeah, I want to get baptized. And I think, you know, very soon after they got baptized. And so that
was your mom just holding out for your dad then?
What do you mean?
I mean, because it's the way that you sound, the way that you made that sound.
They both, no, my mom was not, did I say she was?
No, but your dad had the dream. Right.
Yeah.
And then he kind of woke up. So was your mom just like, whenever you're ready, I'm ready to do this thing?
I don't know all the details from that. I never heard those details, but basically, after that, then they, you know, good to go. They went, got baptized.
Pretty hardcore, would you say? Were they hardcore?
No, it's funny. I mean, people don't realize, like, in the church, I mean, the church isn't perfect. Back then, I mean, we're in the South. And so.
And you said it's 79, so that's right on the heels of.
78, thank goodness. Yeah. I'm thankful for 78, don't you?
Yeah.
No, but.
Things went great in 78.
Things went great in 78. We're good. You know, I don't want to get too, into the doctrine of that, because, I mean, for me, it's just funny that people always bring that up. I personally think, like, I don't think the world was ready. I really don't. Like, if you look at anyway, we're making this way deeper than.
No, deep.
No, this is what we do.
Listen, think about it. And people are going to have their opinions, but the church, think about it. If black people had the priesthood, I think that the church would have been criticized on a I don't want to say sociological level, mm-hmm. right?
No, that's true.
Like the way that society was back then.
Right.
I mean, even churches that weren't LDS, even though they technically, you know, we believe that we hold the priesthood, right?
Right.
And so they, you know, if it's a matter of priesthood, they were divided anyway. If you go in the South, you have predominantly Black Baptist churches. You know what I mean? You have predominantly white Baptist churches, mm-hmm. and that was different now because it's 2012.
Yeah.
But technically, you know, anyway, what were we even talking about?
So, I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Because, okay. So
you like Black people. Good.
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
No, so she's anyway. All about
I
it.
I love Black people.
In fact, if you were married, I'd say watch out. But since you are, we're
yeah,
so you like So you like chocolate.
No.
See, a lot of girls, it's funny because I've dated around here, man. A lot of girls, I'm telling you, man, I would always joke and say, it's like Costco. You know, a lot of girls, they just want a free sample. They don't want to make a purchase. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Yeah, they just want to say, they just want to say, I dated a Black guy. It's so good. I love Black people.
Well, because that, and that was kind of my point, is that, like, here in Utah, like, there aren't a whole lot of Black members of the church. There aren't a whole lot of Black people in general,
you
know? And so do you feel like, have you ever felt like in interacting here that, there are certain topics that people just automatically raise with you because of the
color. Man,
it's like,
listen.
Every time you talk to somebody, the first question out of their mouth is, so how do you feel about the Blacks and the priesthood?
Oh,
or you feel
feel
like get like uncomfortable around you because you're like, does he hate me because...
No, listen. Oh,
you know, because he couldn't have the priesthood before.
Oh, night, come on.
You know?
No, it's just funny because we'll be in church, right? And so, you know what I mean? It's just always delicate. Like they'll be talking and then they'll just, you'll just see people kind of look back like, oh, there's
right. Jesus.
Oh my gosh. Well, we got to really be careful. Like, I don't
That's
even care. I honestly do not care. I know that there's people who are unfamiliar and I'm not going to hold them. I'm not going to hold it against them. But will I joke about it? Yes.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. Like people, just even with politics stuff, like Barack Obama, for example, people will be going off about Barack. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know we're in Utah. I'm not really Republican or I'm more moderate, right?
Right. Yeah.
I just think it's all crazy in general. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Anyway, when's the last time somebody actually did what they said they were going to do? I don't care if they're Mormon, if they're Arabic. I don't care if they're Black, white, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Get done stuff that's good
get
for everybody,
done, man. And so for me, it's funny because people will be going off about Barack, right? And they'll just be going off and they're just, you know, I can't stand him. He is just tearing up our country. Everything is. And then I walk in. And it just hey Steven, how you doing? You were just talking about Barack. He's a nice guy. He's got a nice smile. I like his smile. He's so good. He can dance. I've seen
Have
him.
Have you seen his wife's arms? They're lovely.
They're lovely. I've seen his moves on Ellen. Have you seen Ellen? She's really great. He goes dancing there, you know. But it's funny because. Anyway,
Which
it's just stuff
you
like
knowing
that.
The material. You have so much material that you could
oh,
use.
Oh, man.
For like
I try not to be all. Because, you know, I mean, you don't want to be annoying with racial stuff.
Mm-mm.
But it's who I am, it's what I deal with. And it's just me, you know, making fun of it. Like you were saying, the boy band thing we did with, like, blackface. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I was making fun of that. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
It's like. But people thought that I was alluding to that. But
right.
Then anyway, you have to watch it. Once
you have
again,
to watch it. It wasn't offensive in any way.
It's not offensive at all. I'm making fun of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Steven, do you consider yourself, like if someone said, Steven, you're a comic? Are you a, like what do you label yourself at? I'm an entertainer?
I like to say I'm an entertainer that does comedy.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't really, you know, I do stand-up comedy, but even when I do stand-up comedy, I don't have like your boom, tsh, like, you know, jokes. I like to engage an audience, you know. And so long term, like, I want to do more. I want to get in the corporate world and I want to do like training. I want to teach.
Yeah.
I want to train. I want to use that ability and engage people, teach people something that is holistic. You know what I mean? And so
like what? What do you want to teach people?
I want to do more like principle-based teaching, like organizational behavior stuff.
Like Steven, mm-hmm. like Covey stuff?
Like Covey stuff. I mean, you know, 7 Habits. If you think about it, the man's basically teaching the gospel, but he's applying it to business.
And made millions of dollars off it. Isn't that awesome?
Seriously. I mean, think about it.
Too
most
soon?
Things that you see of anybody, most jokes, most anything, mm-hmm. is just packaged differently.
Mm-hmm.
Is there really ever like a new idea? And so, you know, Stephen Covey, he packages principles and nobody's ever done it the way that he did. And he put it in a curriculum.
Yeah.
And he's sold it, and it's applicable, and people relate to it because it's principles that are grounded to who we are, and it's deep. It's, you know, it's holistically a principle that applies in any culture, and right. any culture. You know, if you're Muslim, if you're Mormon, people love it.
You know, it's interesting because as I've been going through, as I've gone back to school now and been thinking about, well, what is it that I want to do with my life? This, the very same thing that you're talking about is what I have decided. It's like, there's a market for this.
Oh, yeah.
And I particularly realized this after we had someone from the computer science department come in and talk to us and say how all these, you know, computer programmers, engineers, are, I mean, I know it's stereotypical, but we'll just say it. We'll just throw it out there. They're, you know, these computer nerds don't develop social skills, and so they get out into the workplace, and companies are like struggling with them because they have no people skills.
Yeah.
And so, as a comedian, you know, and as an improvisationalist, is that how you
sure.
would say it? An improver, you can go in and you can teach these basic skills of even like improv.
Mm-hmm.
To businesses that make them more capable of relating to people,
yeah.
you know, and so there's definitely a market for it,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, how do you market it to people? Because I think it's sort of this new concept, sort of.
Look at it like this.
It's a new packaging.
It's a way you can take the ability to entertain and you can market it with any curriculum. Look mm-hmm. at Dave Ramsey, right?
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey.
Do you know who Dave Ramsey is?
You know,
yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's a financial guy. He's, you know, I mean, his information, the principle is to plan, and you're going to have finances, right?
Yeah, right.
Wait, so you mean to tell me
if I plan
to have
it,
money.
It's nothing that's crazy. You mean to tell me, all he's saying is, look, be organized in your life, plan for your future, and here's this curriculum that'll help you get out of it. You know what the funny thing is? A lot of us are impulsive. We don't know how to plan. And
right.
so everybody's in debt the way that, you know. And so if he just had that curriculum, not a lot of people would like it. But he happens to, if you've ever listened to him, he's mm-hmm. very entertaining.
Yeah.
He's very engaging. And so he took that curriculum, he took the gift that he had, and he makes a lot of money. And so going back to your question, you mm-hmm. said, okay, are you a comedian? Well, I don't know. I like to engage people. And so, but I would like to, I would consider myself a comedian for sure. You know what I mean?
Yep. You got engaged and you're married. Talk to us about that. How long have you been married for?
Engagement. This guy's quick. I've been married literally, this 2 weeks ago was my first year anniversary.
How's that?
It's good. It's good. I don't know. It's so funny because people say like the first year is like the hardest. So it's like after the first year, are you supposed to like have that? Like, we made it. We're
that's
good.
That's when the heavens open and you go,
yeah, like, we made it. It wasn't crazy.
Okay,
man.
So indulge the female here. I want to hear
man.
The story. Can you tell me the story of how you met?
Oh, shoot.
How you fell in love?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even how you proposed? Were there candles involved?
Objection.
Okay. Whatever
ahead.
You want to know,
yeah.
I'll tell
no,
you.
No, no, no. Give us that.
All right, so I went to BYU. She was at BYU.
So you guys met at BYU. I've never heard.
No,
of
that.
No, listen,
never
this
happens.
Is different. This is unique. Okay.
No, so we're a different.
It was
couple
spiritual. It was spiritual. I told you at the beginning we want to get spiritual. So, I'm telling you, I am not a big science guy. I did psychology, social psychology is what I studied, and so I'm not a really big math guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You know, I can learn it, but it's just and I'm a thing. Anyway, I saved biology 100. For the very end, I was like, oh my gosh, I still have not taken this GE. It's my last GE. I saved it for my last class, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get in this class, and I was like, look, I looked on my, you know, you look on Rate My Professor, like, well, how am I going to do this? I worked every Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
yeah.
and I needed to go right before work because most of my classes were on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to get this class. I saw this one lady. I was like, she seemed like it would be a little, you know, a little less challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. I don't want to say free ride, but
no, but did she have the smiley face?
She had the smiley faces. You know what I mean?
She had
all the stuff that was like, you know, I don't know, not that it was going to be easy, but you
right.
know, not as so, because some of them, they make those classes so hard.
This class is for future biologists.
Yeah, not necessarily you know hard. I mean? I think they forget that they are just
yeah.
like GE courses,
yeah.
you know? Yeah.
So anyway, 350 people class. I'm a senior. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the class. So the whole class, I barely show up because I go to work and it's like, it's 50 minutes. And if you don't make it, I mean, if I wake up late, 10 minutes, you know, I'm like, freak.
Right.
So I don't go to class. So I'm there half of the time. The very last day of class, right, I walk in, you know, we had to take this test. Everybody had to show up. The class is full. And I'm walking up the steps, and I notice, you know, there's this girl. And I'm like, oh, she's kind of cute. And there's a seat wide open, right? And so I sit down, right? It so happens to be my now wife. Now, I find out that she actually planned that. She woke up that morning. She was like, she told me this. She's like, I'm going to wear this really red, bright shirt, and I'm going to save a seat, and I'm going to hope that he sits by me. And I did. I sat by her. And so it so happened that same day, we both we had a quiz that we had to do online that we both got timed out of. And so we're the only people. We both had to go up and ask the teacher to let us back in the quiz. And so I heard this guy say that her name was Danny. And I was like, oh, shoot, okay, that's her name, right?
Okay, lock it away, Danny.
Danny, I'm going to look her up on Facebook. Yeah. Okay, Danny, okay, Danny balled up. Okay, got to look. So I looked up. I was like, dang, she was fine. I was like, dang. Anyway, I ran into her the next 2 or 3 days straight, randomly.
Did she plan those too?
I don't think she planned them.
Like, she stalked you for it. She's like, he will be at this building at this time, and I will
I know he'll be here 7, he'll be here at 9:30.
No, listen,
we've all done it, let's be honest.
No, but it was like
me?
Stuff where anyway, I ran into her, and then finally, after the third time, see, because, you know, I could have got her number, but you know, you
gotta play it a little bit.
Yeah. I was like, and then the last time was when we were at like this, it was a review, and I was, anyway, long story short, I'm making this way too long.
No, it's great.
But so I had to get to this one review, because you know how you have TAs, and some of them give better reviews than others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm like, man, I got to go to the one on Friday, because I was going out of town, so I was trying to take I was going back home, but I needed to take all my stuff early. And so they had like a special day for like the athletes to take this to take the final exam.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to take it that Saturday morning. It opened on Monday, and the review was on Friday and Saturday. The one that I wanted to go to was on Friday. They had like the legit notes that are like, study this, this is all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I couldn't make it to that, and I had this friend that was like sending me all these. I was like, hey, I need to get these notes, right? And he's like, okay, I'm going to email them to you. Didn't email them to me. So I was like, I don't want to go to the other review because it's a waste of time, because it's just, anyway, they might be listening to this. It was okay, right? And so I got the notes that morning, finally. And I did a comedy show that Friday night.
Where
at? It was like at Studio 600 or something.
Okay, yeah.
And
that's in Salt Lake for people.
It's Club Infinity now, I think, but yeah.
And so I got back late, and this dude still didn't send me the notes. And I'm not mad because, you know, he didn't have to give them to me. And so finally, I got the notes that morning, and I had to take the test at like 1, and the review was at 9. And I'm like, should I stay and go to this review, or should I just read these notes?
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, I've just felt like, just go to the review. And I was like, man, I ain't going to go to the review. I got the notes. So I go to the review, and she's, of course, there.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And that's when I got her. That's when I finally got her number. And then it was all she wrote, man. We just.
How long were you engaged for?
We started to finish. It was so I met her in December, and we got married in October.
Yeah, 10 months.
There it is.
Yeah. That's me and my wife, too.
Yeah.
Coming back in the third block, we're going to talk a little bit about serving a mission. And then I want to get into kind of what life deals you right now. That's coming back in the third block here of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. To book your shoot today.
Time for the third block. I love that.
I love when you count it down. 3, 2, here we are. All right, I'm back on.
You gotta count it down. So when I edit it, that's what I do that for. I count it down. Yeah. And then I always say, and it's time for the, that's how I always, and it's, or here we are.
And we're back.
But now we're gonna have, at the beginning instead.
Mm-hmm.
Here at Terra Mio Ristorante, Orem, you might know where this place is. It's right by the University Mall. It's across the street from the Cinemark. You like movies?
I do.
What's your favorite one?
Man, I got a lot of
favorites. Stephen Jones, we should say.
I like Forrest Gump. I love The Count of Monte Cristo.
Right.
A lot. And I like Forrest Gump.
How come you like Forrest Gump?
I think that it's a good mixture. It's got a lot of, it pulls you in. It's got the history. Got the, but it's also funny, and it's also dramatic.
And Tom Hanks, which is great.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Who I just heard on the way over is now slated to play Walt Disney in an upcoming film about the story of how they were able to get make the movie of Mary Poppins. Because apparently the person who wrote Mary Poppins did not want to sell Disney the rights to that book. And he did not want it made into a film. And it took 12 years, I think, for them to make Mary Poppins. So.
Well, Disney was like, money. He's like,
hey, look at this bottom line. There you go. How's that?
Yeah, business.
So, fun fact side note.
Cha-ching.
That is a fun side note.
You know, that was just out of nowhere, but I enjoyed it.
You are welcome.
She's got the nice little, you know, actually, on the way here.
I'm the fact checker.
Disney, Tom Hanks.
How long have you been doing comedy for? You've always been, I'm sure that it's one of these things where you've always been funny.
You know what? I didn't start comedy till I got... if you would have asked me that, hey, you're probably going to do stand-up comedy or comedy, I like doing, like, being funny and, like, more, like, acting, this kind of stuff, but...
So did you do that in high school,
We didn't have a really good theater program.
Where did you go to high school?
I did dance.
Really?
Actually, yeah. If I thought that I was either going to do something in singing or dancing when it came to entertainment, what did you ask me?
Oh, where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Godby High School in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
And it was a Cougar, so I went from Cougars to Cougars.
Cougars. Well, you mentioned before
not the older
women.
No. Not the older women.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
That's coming from you. I didn't even say because you asked, so I have to look at you and answer your question.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. It's fine.
You asked me, and I look at him, Cougars. Cougars. But I'm talking to you.
But that got uncomfortable really quick.
I'm sweating.
I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned something about, like, the athletes got to take the test at a certain time. So did you do sports when you were at BYU?
Oh, see.
No, he just got permission to be in on that test. I got it, right?
Yeah.
So they had no.
No, this is another example. See, she thinks I did athletics because I'm black.
I'm
joking with you.
You're right.
But it's not. No, listen. True
but,
story.
But I'm your in, people.
But my talking Mormons. Okay. Athletic Mormons. All right. Not those are my people.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was in the Smith Fieldhouse one time,
which is the it's a big
yeah the
sports
big track
complex
they had the
thing,
indoor
right?
track right. right at BYU and. I'm just walking in there, just cutting through, and this guy was like, he just looks at me, he's like, track? I was like, what?
You're like, comedy, actually.
Comedy, actually. I'm entertainer, which is also a stereotype. No, but I forgot what you asked me. I have ADD.
Did you play sports at
any point?
Only because you mentioned it.
I grew up playing soccer.
No, but at BYU.
No.
Were you involved?
He got to take the test.
I can say this now. I used to do Cosmo. So
really?
I used to do it. Yeah, yeah.
How was that?
Cosmo?
Cosmo is the mascot of BYU. Yeah. I was.
You were at Cosmo?
Yeah.
Fun, huh?
How many people are Cosmo at any one
time?
Man,
I can't go through that.
Oh,
that's the
come
secret.
On.
Man, I'm not going to take away the magic.
All right.
See, I used to not be able to say anything. Now I'm just like, yes. Because, you know what I mean? You used to not be able to say anything. Now I don't say it whenever, but.
But you can at least say that you were.
Yeah,
Cosmo.
I can say that I was.
How long were you Cosmo for?
From 2008 to 2010, about 2 years.
Oh my gosh, scholarship, yeah. Right?
Yeah, they got a little program there. Yeah.
I love when he says this. I wish you could see it because he's all like looking around as if like Big Brother is watching him as he says. He's like, where are the authorities from BYU?
No, but it was fun, man. Don't worry, they don't listen to our podcast. It's another form of entertainment. If you could put me, I love to entertain, man. I do.
I've been a mascot. I understand.
Oh, really?
At the Mayan. Do you know what the Mayan was the restaurant that got closed down?
They got closed down.
Yeah.
You see the thing, to be a mascot, you have to be able to convey and entertain people without talking.
Right. Or them seeing your facial expressions.
Or seeing, and you, yeah. I mean, it really, for entertainment, it was a good experience.
Yeah,
except for kids. I was Thor down at Southern Utah University for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Kids, you just want it makes you want to hate children.
It's true.
Oh, and
it's
people just give you your kids. They give you their kids. They'll give you, and you can't even see, and they trust you with three. They'll give you the 1-year-old, the 2-year-old, and just you're kind of touching the top of the head of the 3-year-old. And you're like, how did you even have a kid back to back to back like this? But anyway.
Why do they keep it such a big secret at BYU?
You don't want to take away the magic.
You don't want to know who it is, but I mean.
It takes away the magic if you know who it is. You're like, there's Ted, not there's, you know, there's Cosmo, right?
Right.
It's a character. You don't want to be like, you know.
How did you get into it? How'd you get into doing that?
I don't remember. I had a guy that I knew that was a cheerleader, and he's like, maybe you should try out. And I tried out. And
is there a lot of people that tried out?
Yeah.
I bet there were.
There's been more and more. You know what I mean?
So how did you get involved then with this YouTube stuff and then like the commercials and whatever that Richie was talking about? Are you with an agency that kind of booked you that way or?
Well, no. When I first, because the original thing, see, I have ADD and I'm surprised that I'm remembering this stuff. I'm bringing us back on pace.
Yeah, bring it back.
Anyway. No, so the question, you asked me something about comedy, or when I started comedy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so I did stand-up comedy for a group on campus called Humor U. And I never, as a kid, I never really thought that I would do stand-up comedy. I'd like to tell stories, man. I've always been the dude on the back of the bus telling some story. Mm-hmm. On my mission, I was always the dude telling some story.
Where'd you serve?
In Brazil.
Okay.
In
Which Brazil. One?
Porto Alegre North.
Okay.
And so.
It's Brazil.
Brazil.
That's about as much as I know.
Brazil.
And you speak Portuguese.
Portuguese. Which is the most beautiful language ever.
So Cafe Rio, is it really like? Is
Stop.
It really like? No, Brazilian?
Not
no?
funny.
No, not at all, man.
Stupid.
Isn't Cafe Rio supposed to be a Brazilian restaurant?
No.
Okay.
No.
He's being funny. So you don't understand. People are like listening to this like, I can't believe he really thinks that.
Actually, most people are going, what in the world is Cafe Rio? Because they don't have them outside of the Intermountain West.
But they will.
One day.
I love Cafe Rio.
Okay, go back. Wait. Anyway. Comedy. Humor U.
Humor
never
U.
Never thought. And so, stories.
And so I was on campus. That's what I, you know, there was a club that when we'd have shows. And it still exists. So if you're ever in Utah.
But this is not Divine Comedy Laughing Matters, which are both BYU, right?
Yeah, so Divine Comedy is more like SNL.
Yeah.
And then Humor U is more like, you know, a lot of Mormons know about like Brian Regan, or like Jerry Seinfeld, right? Mm-hmm. He does stand-up comedy. So one person, one mic, one stage. And and so I started doing that in 2008.
And what made you get up and want to do that?
Listen, man, I just had a friend that was like, hey, we're going to this show.
Who? Shout out.
See, golly, who was it? It was Jason.
Yeah,
it was Jason. He's my home teacher.
What up, Jason?
Jason, what's up? And so he was like, "Hey," and I had done one stand-up comedy routine in my life. I had done it at a birthday party. They did a talent show for the birthday party, and I basically just stood up and talked about stuff that. I like little stories that I knew people would laugh at in conversations.
How old were you at that point when you did that first time?
I was in college.
Time?
I was like,
okay,
was
so
like,
it was
right, yeah, it was
relatively close by.
Really close. So I was like, you know, it'd be fun to go to this show. And it's an open mic. And at the end, well, what they would do is they would, you know, anybody could get up and they'd give you 3 minutes and they would go. So I was like, okay, I'll show up. And we got there late and I walk in and my friend was already there. And so it was dark and I didn't know. I just sat by myself and I was like, you know, if they give the opportunity, maybe I'll do something, but it's already started, so I don't think that I would.
Right.
And so at the end of the show, they were like, hey, anybody else want to get up? And I got up. And they're like, anybody else? And it was cool because I already decided that I wasn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why not? And I just stood up. And I found out that they were actually auditioning people. And then they called me up and they were like, hey, you want to be in the group? And I was like, sure, whatever. And then so, and I was, and it was fun. I started doing it. We did a show. We did shows every like 6 to 8 weeks, brand new material. And we did like a best of show. Twice a year.
Let me ask you this, going a little more serious. We're going to dive serious now for the rest of this thing. Is that cool?
We getting spiritual?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, whatever, whatever.
What are you afraid? I'm
not scared, man.
You're not scared?
I'm not scared.
So I was reading your article. There's an article about you in the Deseret News. This is from last year.
Okay.
You were in the Deseret News?
Stop. Yeah, man. Why you see, she's saying it sarcastic like it ain't nothing. You know, the prophet used to work for them. Just to put you down. I'm just saying. I'm just playing.
No, that's how you know you've made it in Utah. Once you've been featured in the Deseret News. That's all I'm
saying.
Go ahead, Richie.
Anyway, so in here, it talks, this is right around the time of the parody of the new Old Spice commercials, etc. But then it talks a little bit about, I want to make sure that I get the right sentence exactly. Okay, it says, I think sometimes we don't realize our own potential, Jones said.
Okay.
Things happen when you act. You have to put your own effort in, and the Lord can magnify that. So talk about how you...
Oh, dang, I said that?
Yeah.
Dang, what in the world? Yeah,
I sound good.
No, that, no. You have to really read it again.
All right. I'll read it again.
No, obviously I remember saying it. I'm just joking.
No, but how do you think, how is the gospel inspired what you do?
How is it inspired
what
I do? I think that a lot of people don't recognize. I think that a key to life, if you recognize your potential, it will change every decision that you make. You know, and I think a lot of people don't realize what they're capable of doing. So, like, you could have somebody that may have not even recognized their talents, their gifts, but if you knew what they were, right? You know, think about if you want to get spiritual, think about at some point Thomas S. Monson knew that he had a gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once he knew that, once he knew, like, okay, this is basically what I'm here to do. Is to do this. It changes everything. You know what I mean?
So how do you get people there? Because that, I mean, going back to what you said you want to do, you want to inspire people, you want to get people, you know, to be happy, to be able to meet and see their potential. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you do that?
How do I do that? Well, I think that there's things that everybody's talented with different things. Mm-hmm. They have different gifts. Like some people have the talent to drop things in the kitchen.
Yeah,
that you just heard. I think that, I don't know, man. I think you feel it. You know those things that, and people, small things that people don't even realize, like, that even giving advice, you know what I mean? Like the ability, like, which is, I think, a gift of counsel. You know, a lot of people don't even realize. A gift to empathize. A gift to be able to discern. You know what I mean? And I think, and the gift to teach, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I think that in our society, a lot of times, kind of go as viewed as less important, but are huge, especially in building the kingdom of Heavenly Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you realize what it is, what your gifts are, what your potential is, it changes what you do on the day to day. It's like, why am I? You know, I honestly suck at math, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I've heard. That's actually later here in the Deseret News article. And I suck at math, said Jones. I can't add one. No.
Did I
really?
Because I say it a lot. Now, I'm not the best at math, but I love engaging people, man. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
When I get on the stage, man, I feel like I can, man, I feel like that's my place, man. I feel like, I feel like I don't get nervous because it's just like an accountant doesn't get nervous when he crunches numbers,
right?
You know what I mean?
Millions of dollars that could break a company if he did something wrong. No,
he doesn't get nervous. I mean, you know, and so I think that is in the same way. Like there's different things that are important, and you when you realize what it is, you don't waste your time on the stuff that doesn't matter. You know,
have you ever had a time when your faith has been tried? A time when you're like, oh man, I'm not sure about this. And how did you get through it?
All the time. Like, I mean, you just, that's like saying, are you human?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right, but I mean, how do you get through it? Because a lot of people, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, is, you know, now that there's so much information, and it seems like a lot of young people nowadays, they're just like, yeah, you know what, that was a thing that I did for a while, or my parents, or whatever. But you, still going to church, still believing in the gospel.
Yeah.
How is it that you make it through? How come like a lot of other people that would be like, listen, it doesn't really jive with how I want to, you know, do my humor, comedy, whatever. I'm bailing and being out. How do you stay in?
So I'm seeing two things on this side. Are you seeing more like a trial in life? Or are you seeing more like in this realm of entertainment or what?
No, both.
Both.
Both or either one you feel strong.
I just want to answer
almost
the
like what's kept you here?
You in know? Entertainment or?
In within the gospel. It's kept you in the church when it would be very easy to not be.
Oh, yeah. I think that I know that it's true. I don't. It's not a wishy-washy thing for me. You know what I mean? And I think that it's the small things. And people, it's really cliche to say, but it's the reading your scriptures on a daily basis. It's going to the temple as often as you can. It's actually heeding to the words of the prophets. And if you...
Wait,
if
you mean doing what they say to do?
Doing what they say to do, right?
Hmm.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh, so you mean... So it's not just like some random thing that they're talking about, you know? And that's the things, man, because I don't care who you are. You're gonna have a time in your life where God's going to want you to say, hey, do you really, really want to follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not... And it's like... It's like fitness, right? So, you know, if somebody's 350 pounds, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you know, you want to get on this diet and you want to go run a marathon, no, you got to start changing the way you eat. You got to change your habits. You got to change the way you eat. You got to exercise a little bit. It's not going to happen overnight,
yeah.
right? And so I think sometimes people are 350 pounds. And it's like they have something that, you know, they have something crazy that happens in their life and they think that they're going to be sustained, you know, when they're not doing the small things. See, it makes it sound like I'm making fun of big people, right?
No,
but I'm
no,
not.
No, but
what you're saying is if you're 350 pounds spiritually speaking.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I get
yeah.
your metaphor. I actually really like it.
You can take that same principle and it goes for financial things.
Right.
It goes over spiritual things.
Right.
It goes over... health. It's the same principle. It's the small people think that they can just change overnight. You know it's funny because you can get fat, you can gain weight like that,
mm-hmm.
but it takes a little more effort to lose the weight. And it's an ongoing thing. Health is ongoing. Spiritual
right.
health is ongoing. You can't just say, hey, you know, I'm giving up. You know, it's got to be a lifestyle. It can't just be. That's why people go on diets and then they stop because
right.
it's the mentality of a diet is very much
there's
you know,
a beginning and an end.
There's a beginning and an end, mm-hmm. but you got to change your lifestyle. You got to change the way that you live in order to stay fit. And in order to stay financially fit, you got to change the way that you live spiritually. You know what I mean? You got to have that habits that will sustain you. And you know,
I think,
go
ahead. I was just going to say, I think it's a good point to make kind of around what you're saying as well, mm-hmm. where people go, oh man, I want to be able to run a marathon today and maybe I'm 350 pounds to go back to your example. But I think that sometimes within the church we look at, you know, Stephen here, the track runner that he is.
He's immaculate shape.
And we go, man, I'm not like him. Why can't I be like him overnight? And it's not. And it's everyone in their own individual journey. That to me is one of the huge things that I think.
There's different body types,
yeah.
right? There's different
metabolisms.
There's different metabolisms. There's different situations. And to go back to your trial analogy, your trial question,
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people are 350 pounds. And then all of a sudden, they gotta run the marathon, but they can't. Why? Because they haven't been maintaining the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think to continue with the analogy, I think, you know, you can start to live healthily, but you can't have the expectation that it's going to happen in a day. You know.
Well, I think that's maybe just the culture of or the like. We talk so much about these big things like the Joseph Smith. You know, have you had your Joseph Smith moment? You know, whereas like people expect you to have had like some big event, or people want those big events. You know,
yeah, yeah.
They want the angel to appear. They want like the voice, the audible voice.
And the scriptures fell from the bookcase
nah,
and opened
look,
to
look.
A scripture. That
yeah, exactly.
Look, man, it's like if you want to go back to the analogy, it's like if you're 350 pounds, you know,
it's like
a cup of water,
yeah.
water. Yeah. Think about it like that. Think
yeah.
about liposuction. If you're not in the same habits, you're going to get fat again.
Right. So that one awesome experience won't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because you'll go in, you'll lose that weight, but your lifestyle hasn't changed. And
exactly.
So you're just going to go back. I love this analogy.
All this conversation just makes me want to eat.
Look, man. Yeah. Look, we're at a restaurant. We ain't even got no food. No.
I'm like, where's my pizza?
No, but look. That's the exact analogy that I'm trying to say. It's like, I think a lot of times people have that mentality. It's like, you know, it's Nephi, Laman, and Lemuel, right? It's like they had all the experiences. That's like, you know, like liposuction. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And but they went right back to it.
Let me write that down. Laman and Lemuel.
I love analogies, by the way.
Oh, I live for metaphors.
This is my analogy, thinking of food.
Yeah.
Sin is like McDonald's.
Okay.
It always smells like a good idea, but it always leaves you feeling like crap afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you a few questions before we let you go. Tell us your favorite experience from your mission.
Man, I got so
many. And you can take favorite
experience.
For whatever you want it to be. If that's spiritual, if it's funny, if it's whatever, your
that
favorite experience.
I have some
go
deep experiences that I probably can't share, you know what I mean? But favorite experience. I think my favorite experience was actually when I left. And I had a moment, and it's funny because we're living in the innovative time, right? Steve Jobs, and I'm going to bring it back. Okay, so Steve Jobs created the iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. He created Apple.
The and what I'm, now?
The
I've never
the
heard
Apple.
Of these things. What?
No, I never heard of
the
it.
The Macintosh?
Listen, I did not know what an iPod was, okay? When I left in 2003,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they had it, but I didn't know about it. They were like $800 or something. And I remember when I sat on the plane and I had a guy, he was sitting right next to me, and he had this, like, to me it looked pretty sleek then. It was this white thing. And he was twirling it around, like, and I remember I was looking at him like, what is this guy doing? And then, and I was sitting there, and this has nothing to do with the experience, but it's just, you know, I'm just reminiscing, man.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, dang, everything is so different. Like, I'm coming back into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking outside of the airplane. And I was so scared to change. I was like, I'm going to be that missionary that comes back, and I was like, my personality is everything to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be changed.
I don't want to be weird.
I don't want to be weird.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there thinking, I'm the same guy, but I am so different. And I remember I was looking out the window, and that guy with his little iPod, he was sitting there listening to his music, and I just started bawling, like uncontrollably out the window, like, you know. And I'm telling you, it was. I want to say that was probably my favorite moment. Was when I realized how different I was at the end of the whole experience.
Hmm.
That's cool.
But I
was still the same.
Yeah. Different, but better.
Yeah.
What's your calling in your ward right now?
What's my call? Oh, I'm the assistant ward clerk.
Yeah. For financial or for records? Or is it not split up?
It's more on the executive side. Like,
okay.
I do the bishop appointment. So if you're in my ward, if you need an appointment, call me.
There you go.
I was the cub master before that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I was the cub master,
that
man.
That sounds awesome.
Let's give him a round of applause. Now you got to do the round of applause.
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
There
I'm
you go.
Myself.
I wasn't in Scouts,
yeah.
Richie.
Oh,
thank
man.
You.
I'm not a big Scouts guy, man. But anyway.
But that was an experience for sure. If you could pick a calling, what would you pick for yourself?
I would be a teacher, man.
What kind?
Anything.
Doesn't matter?
Anything, man. I love to
teenage
teach.
Kids? Would you teach
whatever,
teenage
man.
Kids?
It does
you
not
and I are kindred spirits, I feel. Like,
really?
Throughout this whole thing, I'm just like, yes, yes, and I agree, and I agree. It's man. We're very like-minded.
Be
it's,
glad
it's
you're married.
Wonderful.
You don't want to have to deal with this.
No. Yeah, watch out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then final question. What is your favorite part of your faith?
What does that mean?
Whatever you want it to mean.
I think the favorite part is the consistency of my personal faith and my church faith. When you say my faith, I think of my faith as being an LDS person. I think it's consistent. It shows that not my personal faith, but like the faith, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is consistent. It is the Church of Jesus Christ the same way that he made it. He doesn't change. And so in life, you can always, you know, if you put all your core and your values in people, they change. They change all the time. And your wife, she's going to make mistakes.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Boy, I know it.
As Richie's wife sits less than
Listen,
5 feet away.
She'll never hear this.
But I think, man, but when you put it in something like that, it's the same. It's the Savior. He does not change. And that's what I like about it.
Cool. Well, let's ask you to climb up on the Ramyumptum. Tell people where they can find you, how they can get in contact with you if they want.
Ramyumptum, he says.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. No, yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Mr. Stephen Jones, at Mr. Stephen Jones, obviously. Facebook, Stephen Jones. On YouTube, it's Mr. Stephen Jones TV. Yeah.
Cool.
That's plans me. For more of that?
Yeah, we do it for fun. I'm actually working. I actually have a day job. I'm working. I want to go back and get an MBA, so I'm trying to get my work experience.
Nice.
And so I haven't done as much, but I'm still doing it. So cool. I still do comedy. Still do.
Check
YouTube.
It out. You'll have to get involved with the Salt Lake Comedy Festival next year.
Yeah.
I happen to know a guy that organizes it.
Okay.
That's me.
Yes.
We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you can return home safely.
And for those that weren't able to listen this week, that they'll be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the cultural hall.
Oh, look at y'all.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.